Hey friends, it's Monday and it's 6 o'clock here in Ohio. Thanks for joining me today for Dr. Mike Live. Jared, before we get started today, I want to give a tip of the hat and some recognition to a lot of folks that I appreciate and the ministries that the Lord has provided for them. Coach Dave Live, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. for you early risers like me. I get up at 5:30 every morning, so I'm able to tune in to Coach almost every morning. Gives me a good boost and a good start to my day. You join and then you'll find out why I'm chuckling about that. But Coach Dave Live, coachdavelive.com, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. right there. The red button says off the air. It'll say join the huddle or something like that, won't it, Jared? When it's live. Yep. Join the huddle. So there you go. Tune in to Coach Dave Live. I also want to call your attention to my good friend and brother, David Arthur. He has a live show every Monday through Friday, the Alphabet Man, 9 to 9:30. 9 to 9:30. That's alphabetmanlive.com. Alphabetmanlive.com. So you can join him there. And then we got Ray Moore, Jared. His show is on Tuesdays, and I believe that's at 11 o'clock every Tuesday, 11 a.m. There you have it. So join Ray Moore there on his interactive show. You can join the huddle just like you do with this show and participate in the conversation and offer some feedback and perspective. Listen, we need to get together as the body of Christ, as believers, and start having these conversations about the very tough issues that we're facing. There is strength in numbers, isn't there? And there is wisdom in a multitude of counselors. So let's get behind these ministries and let's begin to support them. So Ray Moore, every Tuesday, 11 a.m. Also want to point out Last Call Radio. My buddy BJ Edwards, otherwise known as JR, he's on Saturdays, and I think they live stream that on YouTube, 10 a.m. to 12 noon Saturdays. Last Call Radio. There's the YouTube channel. Thank you, Jared. You are all over it as usual. BJ and his buddy Kevin have some fantastic guests on that show. They talk about topics that are in the news right now, and what we as the body of Christ should be doing right now. Very encouraging. Also want to call attention to my friend Rob Pugh's ministry up there in Marshfield, Wisconsin. Wisconsin Christian News. There you go. You can subscribe to the monthly newspaper. And folks, let me tell you something. I've seen a lot of so-called Christian newspapers in my 35 plus years of walking with the Lord, and I've not found one that compares to the Wisconsin Christian News. There you go. Print up for $25. You spend that going out and buying pizza for the family one night a week. You can get a year's worth of the newspapers from Wisconsin Christian News. So that's Wisconsin ChristianNews.com. Go out and say hi to Rob. Support that ministry. I know that he would appreciate that very much. And while we're on that website, Jared, it might be on the main homepage of Wisconsin Christian News. They're having a conference there, March the 8th and the 9th. And they're going to have, well, looky there. There's David Arthur. They're going to have there at the conference, March the 8th and 9th, and I know it's probably there someplace under the events page. But you can go and hear Coach Dave speak. I know Bradley Dean is going to be there. I'm going to be there. Doug Hagman will be speaking. I believe Pastor Dan Fisher is going to be there. There you go. Thank you, Jared. So Bradley Dean, Pastor Dan Fisher, I'll be there speaking. Coach Dave will be there speaking. Doug Hagman will be there speaking. Again, that's March 8th and 9th in Marshfield, Wisconsin. So you can go to the website and get more information there. And I hate to do this to you, Jared, but Coach Dave, Occupy 2019, Coach Dave, Occupy 2019 is coming up in April, April the 12th, 13th, and 14th. That's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in Canton, Ohio, same place that we held it last year. So there you see your speakers, Mark Trump, Tom Dunn, Russ Dizdar, Chad Estes, David Arthur, Coach Dave, some guy named Mike Spaulding, Mark Harrington is going to be there. So mark your calendars for that, April the 12th, 13th, and 14th in Canton. There's the schedule. Tickets are available online. And I think right now there's a discounted price for tickets, folks. There you go. You can get your tickets at a discounted price right now, early bird. Early bird price right there. Thank you, Jared. And then go there for 2019. This is the third year we've done this conference here in Lima, Ohio. The Go There For 2019 conference is July the 26th and 7th. And we haven't determined yet whether it's going to be that Sunday morning. If it is, it's going to be back at the church building on Sunday the 28th, but for sure, July 26th and 27th. There are too many speakers for me to even try to remember and announce, but all of those that you just saw on the screen previously for the Occupy, they're gonna be in Lima in July. I think that pretty much handles it as far as the announcement and ministries that I wanted to acknowledge. Jared, has Mark joined us yet?
Yeah. Yes, Pastor Mark. Mike, hi, I'm here.
Good. Mark, how are you doing, brother?
I'm doing fantastic. It's so good to talk to you. It's been way too long since we hung out.
It has. I was looking back in my notes, and I think it's been mid-year last year, which is too long, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, there's the website.
So good to talk to you again.
Well, it's wonderful to talk to you, and I was just talking with some folks before we went on the air. Prepper Recon, folks, prepperrecon.com is the website. Many of you already know Mark from his writing. He is, and I say this in all seriousness, he is a prolific author, and by the way, his stuff is good. His stuff, in fact, is beyond good. It's great. And let me give you a testimony, folks. Any of the books that Mark writes, any of the series that he puts out, one of my daughters loves Mark's writing, his style, his genre, this topic. And she's told me, and I just read the other day where she told somebody else on Facebook, I don't even bother buying his books until the whole series out, because once I start reading them, I can't put them down. And so if it's going to be a 3-book series, she waits till the third one's done, Mark. I think she's already told you that too. And she buys all three at once. That's how good they are, folks. Prepper Recon. Mark, what is going on with this Cyber Armageddon? Is this going to be a series? It says book one. So is the plan for this to be a series?
Yes, Pastor Mike, this will be a 3-book series. I've already finished the draft on the second book, but there's kind of a long production process with editing, and then it goes to the audio producer, and then there's a lot of steps with it. Even when you're self-published, it's not quite as long as if you're with one of the traditional big five publishers, but there's still quite a few steps, and so hopefully your daughter won't have to wait too long for all three of the books to be out. I try not to make folks wait too awfully long. Try to get them all out within, a 6 to 9 month period.
There you have it. Thank you, Jared. Rise of the Locusts, a post-apocalyptic techno thriller. Well, that's a good way to describe it right there. So you go out there and it's available in audiobook. So yes. Mark, it just occurred to me, the last time we talked about Ava's Crucible. That was the last time we talked. So
right.
So that'll date it for you. I thought today, Mark, because you're one of those people that I can always rely on being up to date on what's happening in the news. And by the way, folks, if you're in the queue today and you want to join the conversation, I'm going to give you opportunities throughout this conversation with Mark and moving forward. I'll give you an opportunity to join in and add some perspective, add some feedback, even ask some questions, make a comment. I want that to be a hallmark of this show going forward, is I want you to be able to participate. So if you're in the huddle, all you've got to do is unmute yourself. And I hope that you all know how to do that. Now, if you're watching on social media, if you're out there on YouTube, if you're out there on Twitter, if you're out there on Facebook and you're watching us, then you're going to have to send your question. You have to drop it in the comments or tweet it or however you, whatever platform you're on, you're going to have to make that visible and somebody will pick up on that and we can get that question answered. But Mark, what I wanted to start with today, I wanted to read a passage of scripture. And this is something I've been over the years as a Bible teacher and as a pastor, I've learned to listen to the Lord. And there have been different times in my teaching ministry when he has locked me into a place and it seems like I'm stuck there for quite some time until I flush it out enough and say enough about it that people are encouraged and educated and they can connect the dots. And right now in Mark, the Gospel of Mark chapter 13, that's one of those places. Kathy, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like we've been in Mark chapter 13 for about a month and the past 2 weeks and this Sunday will be the same. We've been stuck on one verse, Mark 13, 14. But today, what I want to do, Mark Goodwin, is read from the Gospel of Mark, the first six verses. And then I want to show some examples of manifestation of what Jesus is talking about here. And then we'll have a conversation and then anybody else can join in. So what we're going to do, folks, is we're going to look at the news and offer a biblical analysis of it. How great is that? Huh? You're not going to get that on the networks, are you?
So, Mark. No, sir.
That's for sure. Mark chapter 13, verses 1 through 6. Here's what it says. And I'm reading from the New American Standard. As he was going out of the temple, that's Christ and his disciples, one of his disciples said to him, "Teacher, behold, what wonderful stones, what wonderful buildings." So they're talking about the magnificence of the temple complex. And Jesus said to him in verse 2, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left upon another, which will not be torn down." Now, the reason he said that, obviously, he was prophesying, and that was fulfilled in the first instance in 70 AD when the Romans under Titus leveled Jerusalem and the temple. But it has a future fulfillment. Wait for it. As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, so they had left the city, they had traveled down the Kidron Valley up the Mount of Olives and sat opposite the temple. Peter and James and John and Andrew were questioning him privately. So they pulled Jesus aside. They wanted to ask him some questions. "Tell us," verse 4, "when will these things be and what will be the sign when all of these things are going to be fulfilled?" So Jesus's comment that this temple complex is going to be leveled startled them, and they didn't know what to make of that. So they pulled him aside. "When's this going to happen? What are the signs of when this is going to happen?" Jesus began to say to them, verse 5, "See to it that no one misleads you." So his very first statement out of the gate in response to their question, "What are the signs of this happening?" His very first statement out of the gate is, "Don't be deceived." That's an interesting response to their question, don't you think? And then he gives a specific within that context. That's verse 6. "Many will come in my name saying, 'I am he,' and will mislead many." Now I want to pause right there. Mark, there have been throughout history many nutcases that have come along claiming to be Christ, and they've gathered disciples to themselves. We've even seen some folks with Messiah complexes, is what shrinks call them. in our modern day. And I could name a few, but it doesn't really serve what we want to talk about today. But I think not only was Jesus talking about there'll be people coming who will claim to be Christ, but I think even more specific, what he was alluding to was this. There will be many false Christs presented. There will be many false characterizations. There will be many Christs of our own imagination. People will invent, reinvent, if you will, who Christ is. What do you think about that, Mark?
Absolutely. And that's, I get into that in Cyber Armageddon. I actually have a conversation where the old man asks this young whippersnapper, you know, well, which Jesus is it that you pray to? You know, and he's like, well, how many Jesuses are there? And he says, well, you know, there's the one and only begotten Son of God, said, and then there's this pot smoking hippie that they teach about in most of the churches today. You know, there was the one that the folks prayed to for the Spanish Inquisition, and then you know, designer babies. People have got designer Jesus now, where you know they come up with what they want him to be like, and it's just another form of idolatry. Just because you call it Jesus doesn't mean it's not an idol. If it's anything other than the Jesus of the Scriptures, the one and only begotten Son of God, and all the attributes that are accredited to him in the Holy Scriptures, then it's just another idol. And I think what he calls him a Mr. Potato Head Jesus, because you know they pick the eyes and the ears and the feet and the nose and they just kind of cobble this thing together and bow down to it and call it Jesus, but it's just another idol.
Yes, and folks, listen, we didn't orchestrate that. We didn't plan that. I don't have an advanced copy of the book. I didn't read in there. So this was the Holy Spirit just guiding, directing the conversation. Jared, let's look at the DC Comics Jesus, the DC Comics Jesus. This is what's going on in our culture today. I don't know if any of you have picked up on this. Anybody in the queue, have you seen this already? DC Comics to introduce Jesus Christ as new superhero with a distorted telling of the Savior. Did anybody see this? Mark, have you seen this?
I have not seen that one yet, but it doesn't surprise me a bit.
Yeah. Scroll down a little bit, Jared. They have a very interesting comment here. So there's the picture. So Jesus has come, and he's startled that this superhero, and by the way, this superhero, I believe, my memory, this superhero with the sun on his chest, it's called Sun Man.
Baal.
So, yeah, that's it right there. Yes.
The sun god. Those sun gods all go back to Nimrod, no matter you know, who you want to call them, whether it's the, you know, Louis the 14th or any of the other self-proclaimed sun gods or people that thought they were sun gods or Saturnalia or whatever, it all goes back to Baal, all goes back to Nimrod.
That's exactly right. Jared, if you'd scroll down there, the creator, Mark Russell, he has an interesting statement. He says, according to comic book resources, Russell mixed in his own idea of Christianity in the animated work by claiming that Jesus needed to return to earth to learn how to become the true Messiah. And he needed to learn how to become the true Messiah from the Sun Man.
Absolutely. Yes. Baal is the one that's going to teach him.
Yeah. Baal's going to teach him. Yes. Yeah. Just absolutely. Anybody in the queue got a comment? I had somebody send this to me and I thought, well, that'll fit in real nice with the direction of today's show. Anybody comment? Paul?
Well, I was going to go see Aquaman now, but forget about that.
Yeah. Anybody? All right. Well, let's move on. Here's another Jesus that's popular today. Jared, transgender Jesus. So a worship leader at a Presbyterian Church of America preaches a transgender Jesus. So if you scroll down, we'll see some of the comments here. So this lady, who's this picture, Michelle Higgins, has noted the following very disturbing comments. Some of you know the shirt, "I Met God, She Is Black." Does anybody have that shirt? I've got to get me one. Have you met God? Do you know him? She's black. Do you know Jesus? Jesus is a trans person of color. Remember your God, who is black, who is transgendered, who is differently able, who is non-English speaking, is coming. Your God is not heterosexual.
That's a Mr. Potato Head Jesus if I ever saw one. You know, maybe you need a can of spray paint for that one, and a Mrs. Potato Head, you know, so you can put on the lipstick and the earrings and all that. But this is just, this is 1 Timothy 4:1, you know, in spades right here. "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter time some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with the hot iron." It's just blasphemy and apostasy. And it's easy to sell to a congregation that doesn't read their own Bible. And it's, that's something you rarely hear preached from in a pulpit. And that's not works. That's just discipline. That's just sound discipline. You know, folks, if you're not reading your Bible, I don't even think you probably should be going to church, because you're going to come home more twisted and perverted than you were when you left to go to church, because this is all the stuff that's being taught in the churches. So you need to be steeped in the Word of God to even be able to go to church, so that you've got the discernment to know if what the man in the pulpit is, and if it's not a man, then definitely just turn around and leave right away. But to know what the man in the pulpit is telling you, whether or not it's truth, and whether or not it lines up with what God said.
Yes. Amen. That's one of the easiest preventatives for being deceived, folks, if you know the scripture yourself. And by the way, I don't know how, Mark, I don't know how we ever got to a place in America where Christians have just stopped reading their Bible and they're trusting in their pastor to just teach them what they need to know, and they figure that's the sum total of everything they need, and they go about their merry way. That is a sad commentary, in fact, on the church. Listen, I'm not church bashing. I'm a pastor, but I am critical of Christians who, well, they're just slothful, to use a biblical phrase. They're just flat out lazy in reading and studying. Listen, when Paul said study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, yes, he was talking to Timothy, but that's an exhortation that applies to every one of us, don't you think?
Absolutely. Mark? Absolutely. Yeah. And you read in Mark 13, do not be deceived. And that's a phrase we hear over and over. We hear Paul use that phrase many times. 1 Corinthians 6:9, he uses it. And it's just used over and over and over. And why are they saying that? Because so many are going to be deceived. Just like we said in 1 Timothy 4:1, you know, deceiving spirits, the doctrines, yes, of demons that are being taught in the churches.
Well, and that, yes, and you know what came to mind as you were saying that, Mark, is Paul's instructions to the elders as he was standing on the beaches at Miletus. He was saying, listen, be very, very careful that you're not deceived, because after my departing, savage wolves are going to come from where? Amongst yourselves. They will arise amongst yourselves. Savage wolves are going to attack the flock, the body of Christ, from among yourselves, was the warning. We just saw that transgender Jesus. It's just an amazing thing to watch all of this happen today. Jared, let's look at the next one. Since Jesus is transgender, then this makes perfect sense, doesn't it? There's another Presbyterian Church of America that invites lesbians to teach on celebrating the lives of transgenders. So again, the Presbyterian Church, and listen, I'm not picking on the Presbyterian Church. This just happened to be the headlines of what I found and grabbed today. This kind of stuff is going on in a lot of other churches and a lot of other denominations as well. In fact, right now, the biggest push for recognizing and assimilating homosexuality, lesbianism, and perversions that are associated with those things is happening in the Southern Baptist Convention. You heard it in the Southern Baptist Convention, led by Russell Moore, David Platt, Mark Deaver, Al Mohler, all of those sacred cow cult of personality pastors and ministry leaders that people have looked up to. You need to stop that because they're leading you astray, leading you astray. And listen, I don't care if I get hate mail over that or not. You won't be the first one. Pastor Mike at cclohio.org. Send me your best shot. The truth is the truth. And sometimes you need the truth to get you straightened up and straightened out. So PCA Church invites lesbians to teach on celebrating the lives of transgenders. I wish my brother David Arthur was with us, Mark, because he'd probably take up the rest of the show, though, wouldn't he, Jared? David Arthur knows the treachery and the deception that is involved in this, and churches are opening their doors and allowing this to come right in. Listen, there is nothing to celebrate about demonic deception capturing people and driving them into despair, into depression, and in many cases, suicide. I think I read recently, Mark, where the statistics for suicide among people who claim to be transgendered is 19 times more than any other demographic. Have you read something similar, Mark?
I haven't read that, but I don't doubt it one bit. It's an attack against God's design, and the whole purpose that Satan puts that out there is to confuse people, get God out of their mind, get them to think that life isn't worth living, and get them so confused and frustrated that they'll take their own life. And that's always the end goal, whether it's drug addiction or whatever it is. Satan wants, he came to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's his mission statement. He knows what he's doing. And that's what he's here to do. Yeah. David Wilkerson, you know, prophesied back in the 70s that homosexuals would have their own churches and that churches would practice witchcraft. I don't know if he lived to see that come true, at least not to the degree that we're seeing it today. But, you know, when he said that in the 70s, that's just crazy talk. That's not something that's going to really happen, at least not in America, because that's, you never heard about anything like that in America in the 70s. And we left Fort Lauderdale, we had a church about a mile and a half from our house called Sunshine Cathedral. It was all men. And then on Saturdays, they hosted a psychic fair where you could have your palm read. They did tarot readings, all of that kind of thing in a church. And it was strictly for gay men. You know, there may have been some lesbians that went there, but anytime I was driving by, I never saw any women go in or out.
Wow. Well, I just, 2 weeks ago, probably, Mark, I was teaching the part one on Mark 13:14, which talks about the abomination of desolation. And one of the tie-ins to that was witchcraft. It's interesting that you would bring that up. Witchcraft is, folks, fastest rising pagan, I hesitate to call it a religion, belief system, perhaps. But listen, witchcraft has their own theology schools. Did you know that? There is a gal that she's a young lady that I watched grow up. Kathy and I knew her from 5 years old up, watched her grow up in the church. And that now a young lady in her very early 20s, she is now a self-professed witch. She has gone through some kind of witch school, and there's witch theology. And I mean, it's just mind-numbing to think about this, Mark. but it's going on right under our noses, and it grieves me to see that, especially because the enemy, as you said, is coming in and plucking people off one by one, and the church isn't talking about it. They're not addressing it. They won't stand against it. They want to continue to have their lollipop, cotton candy, Disneyland experiences and sermons. And I just want to rebuke that in the strongest terms possible.
Absolutely. I'm going through Chuck Smith's 3000 series right now. I've been through the 2000 series, and now I'm working my way through the 3000 series. And he's teaching on Leviticus, and you know that's one of those books that you know, as a pastor, sometimes hard to get a lot of juice out of. It's kind of like, you know, you get some of those limes sometimes in the winter time. It's green. Yes. It looks like a lime, but man, you got to really work to get some juice out of it. But he was going through Leviticus 26. That's what I was listening to last night, and wow, I tell you what, it's like an abbreviated version of Deuteronomy 28 with the blessings blessings for obedience and the curses for disobedience. And it starts out, you know, you shall make no idols nor graven images, neither rear you up a standing image. And, you know, and this is exactly what we're talking about. Just because your Mr. Potato Head idol is called Jesus, it doesn't make it any less an idol. And man, I tell you what, when he gets down to the curses for disobedience, it is really, really, really rough.
It's rough.
And it says, I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. And I think that we're just, as a nation, inviting all these curses of judgment upon America. And unfortunately, a lot of these churches that you've mentioned are the biggest offenders. And of course, we can't blame it on the pastors, because they wouldn't be pastors if people were reading their Bible for themselves and they knew the truth, they wouldn't be going to these churches. They'd go find somewhere to go, and if they couldn't find a church like Calvary Chapel, Lima, Ohio, or some of these other good churches that are out there, then you know, they'd start a home Bible study.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Wow. Yes. So many thoughts, right? Okay. So first, let me get this in first. Calvary Chapel of Lima meets Sunday mornings, 10:30 a.m., Wednesday night, 7 p.m. You can check the website for more information, but I want to give a hat tip. Here's the infrastructure. Here's the backbone of Calvary Chapel of Lima. Our two elders, Paul and Adam, are teaching on Sunday morning before the church service. Adults get there an hour before the church service, and then not just adults, their families, children are there. Paul and Adam are teaching through Mark. You ready? Leviticus.
No,
they're teaching. Yeah, they're teaching through the book of Leviticus, and people are coming out for that, and they're being blessed. So, a little hat tip to Paul and Adam for their faithfulness to plow through those books. That there are Christians. I will go out on a limb and say, I've walked with the Lord for decades and never read or studied the book of Leviticus. Join us if you want to study that. But anyway, so Jared, let's look at the flip side. So we're talking about pastors, if they'll stand up to this nonsense, if they'll say enough is enough, it's not going to happen anymore. Perhaps some of you saw this. There was a pastor in California. He posted out on the church sign. I don't know if it shows it. It probably doesn't, since this is the Los Angeles Times headline. I should have grabbed something off of Facebook. It was there. But anyway, this pastor, Mark, he posted in big bold letters out on the church sign that homosexuality is a sin. Maybe if you scroll down there, Jared, it'll say it. Let's see. Yeah, it was Facebook. Nope, they're not going to say it. homosexuality is anybody in the queue, you know what I'm talking about? This pastor that posted that. I know Pulpit and Penn posted an article on it. Homosexuality is a sin. I don't even remember. I should have wrote it down. But anyway, guess what happened? They protested the church, and the church said, you're out of here. The LBGT, QRXYZ folks protested the church, and the church caved. The church caved. I think the story I read was one family in the entire church said, no, we're going to stick with you. We're going to stick with you because it was the right thing to do. And everybody else said, nope, you're gone or we're gone. Well, Mark, you know me well enough to know that I would have said, well, guess what? I guess we're starting from scratch. You're out of here. As pastors, listen to me. Pastors and ministry leaders, you got a couple of choices. If you're in a church that supports that nonsense, you need to turn your resignation in and get out of there immediately and go start another work. Seek what the Lord would have you do. Church is not to run the shepherd. Are you a shepherd or not? Do you hear from the Lord or not? If you do, then you need to lead that flock, that local body of believers. That doesn't mean they're always going to agree with you, because they're not. You're God's man and you need to lead. And if they don't like it, then guess what? Show them the door. I can't tell you how many times I've told people that over the years. Nobody's keeping you here. There's no ball and chain. You don't have to stay. If you don't like the truth, the way it's being delivered, then go find your truth. Now, I hope people will stay. They'll stay. Maybe they'll learn and they'll grow and they'll draw closer to the Lord Jesus. But this kind of stuff right here, where churches are giving pastors the boot because they stand against the evil, I think that that is a symptom of what's going on today, Mark. I'll let you weigh in. There it is. Thank you, Jared. There it is. Bruce Jenner is still a man. Hello. Did his operations change his chromosome? Get serious, people. Bruce Jenner is still a man. Homosexuality is still sin. The culture may change. The Bible does not. And the church booted the pastor over that. Mark, I'll shut up and let you weigh in.
Well, you know, they weren't worthy of him. So I hope he finds a better home. I hope he finds a better ministry, you know, whether it's in a church or on a website or maybe writing books, who knows? I pray that he'll find a better ministry somewhere that will appreciate the truth, you know. And I think one of the big things that the LGBT community accuses Christians of is being hypocrites. And you know, if you're gay, your sin is no worse than my sin. You know, I was an addict, and you know, I repented of that. And you know, and I still fall short every day. You know, sometimes it takes me a little longer than it should to look the other way. And but I don't shake my fist in God's face and tell him that I'm right and you're wrong. I say, I'm sorry, God, you know, help me to do better next time. You know, that's repentance, and that's living according to his law, and not trying to subvert God's law with your own laws. And that's the potato, Mr. Potato Head Jesus, is when, you know, you're going to cobble together your own things and make the Jesus you want it to be, and not, yes, not who he is, and not the Jesus of the scriptures.
That's right. That's right. I'm going to pause here. Anybody in the queue got a comment, anything you want to jump in here and share anything, unmute yourself and please do that. Trying to remember to give you that opportunity, take advantage of it. Anybody?
Well, I'm finding this extremely interesting. And my question is, I know he's writing these books. I find that no matter how hard I work out there, is it just me or do I just find more and more deaf ears?
Yeah. Well, it's not just you, Denny. I can tell you that. It isn't just you. There are more and more deaf ears. Mark, what's your opinion?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Jeremiah, he had that problem, but he didn't stop his ministry because nobody would listen. God sent him out into the field to basically preach to people that were not going to listen, that were not going to hearken. But what he did is he washed their blood off of his hands. So come judgment day, as long as you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you'll be clean. And God will be clean because, you know, he sent Jeremiah to warn those people and they didn't listen and they got the judgment, you know. But if he would have just brought down the judgment on them, they said, oh, but why didn't you tell us, you know? So God washes his hands of it. Jeremiah washes his hands of it. And it's not up to whether or not they listen or not. It's whether or not you speak it.
Yes, that's right. Jeremiah is a very good, a case study for exactly what you were talking about, Denny, and Mark, your comments are spot on. God told Jeremiah right from the beginning, listen, I'm sending you these people, but they're not going to listen to you. they're not going to listen to you. But you tell them anyway, because if you don't, I'm going to take that up with you. So don't let your countenance fall. Don't be despairing because nobody listens. You go do it anyway because you are my mouthpiece. Now, how's that for marching orders today? Sam, I see you're in here, Pastor Sam. I'm just wondering about your perspective, your feedback, anything that we've been talking about. You have to unmute yourself if you're going to jump in here, though. Click on that microphone. There you go. You got anything to add, Sam?
Yeah, no, I think this is spot on. I really think of that idea of they're going to raise up for themselves teachers to itch their ears, you know. I think it was Charles Spurgeon who said, we're going to come into a day when it's no longer shepherds feeding the sheep, but clowns entertaining the goats. And that's why they're not hearing this, because there's an awful lot of clowns out there who are willing to entertain these goats.
That's right. Amen. Yes. We've had a number of people over the years that have talked about the day is coming. And now I believe is here where we actually have a Christless Christianity. Mm. Christless Christianity. Amen. Amen. Jared, here's the result. When pastors don't stand up against that stuff, even at the risk, here's the result right here. Here's the latest. And this is from the UK. I wish my brother Mark Sutherland was on today, and he could comment on this. But family where mum, that's mom, is daddy, and dad is mom, and son, age 4, is being raised as gender neutral. Take a look at this picture, folks. Scroll down a little. There you go, Jared. Thank you. Now, I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm pointing out that this is a picture of beyond confusion. This is demonic deception. This man dressing as a woman, hair, makeup as a woman, and the woman trying to be the man, this is nothing but demonic manifestation in our time. And they have a child together and they're raising the child to be done. Can you imagine now at 4 years old, you imagine the heartache and heartbreak and the oppression and potentially possession that they're exposing their son to? This is tragic, folks. This is tragic. And the church should be speaking out against this, in my opinion. It's always been the goal, though, of Luciferians to destroy the family. Mark, you lived in sunny Florida for a time, and you witnessed firsthand the heartbreak of Satan putting a bullseye on a man that God raised up and used, and really. I don't think it's an understatement to say that God used him to change a city and Satan took him out. That's the goal of our enemy, isn't it? To render Christians powerless in the communities in which they live.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We went to Calvary Chapel, Fort Lauderdale. We were there so we got a front row seat of watching Bob Coy's ministry, really, as you said, transform Fort Lauderdale to where you know, they had a ministry for everything, for divorce and cancer care and for a drug addiction, where I went through their ministry there for rehabilitation. And that was just like such an important time for me to get close to God. And I learned so much of the scripture during that time there. And I met my wife in that church, and, you know, we had a front row seat to see what happens when Satan takes somebody out. And, you know, if you have a godly pastor like Dr. Mike Spaulding or anybody that's affecting the culture, you need to really be praying for these men, because Satan is trying to take them down like you cannot believe. And I don't know if Jared's able to go back to that article on the Mirror for the transgender couple. Yeah. If he can scroll down and show a picture of this child, this is Star. Mm. And if you look at the face of this child, you can see the demons just influencing that child's mind, and you see the deranged expression on that child's face, and the way it's holding the car, and the eyes and the teeth and the mouth and everything there. And you know, and children are, you know, we read so much in scripture about demonic influence on children, and the child that was thrown into the fire, and we don't think about this as parents, but you've got to really, really be guarding. You know, in Proverbs it says, "Guard the, you know, above all else, guard the heart, because from within it comes the wellspring of life." And we don't think about how we need to inoculate our children with God's word. So if you've got kids, not only should you be reading your Bible every day, you should be reading it out loud to your children. We do this with our 17-month-old. Even though she doesn't understand the words, we started reading the Bible out loud to her at birth, because we knew what type of a world we just brought her into. And we have to inoculate her mind and her spirit against this demonic influence. And here we see this picture of this child on the mirror. And like you said, Dr. Mike, I'm not trying to make fun of anybody, but you can look at that and see that is not a normal looking child. And that's not what a child's supposed to look like. And you just see a little person here that's been ravaged by confusion and demonic influence. And once again, kill, steal, and destroy. And that's his mission statement. And he's doing a very, very good job of it right there in that family.
That's right. Yep. That's the goal. That's the goal. And listen, that's the marching orders that Satan's servants, I call them Luciferians, the Luciferian elite, the globalists, the secret society folks, all these Luciferians, their goal is to bring the world back into slavery. Now, the primary objective right now, and we see it manifesting all across the world, but especially here in the United States, is the destruction of the family by destroying gender identity. Destroying gender identity. Jared, let's go to that LifeSite news. Yeah. United Nations wants a one world government in less than 12 years. Here's the goal. They're trying to create confusion and destruction of a nation's infrastructure, which is the family, so that they can seize control. That is what, and listen, this is, I don't have a tinfoil hat to put on, and I don't need one for this. It should be obvious to anyone that as the Spirit of God living within them, what is happening today in our world, why the UN has all of these programs and agendas that they're setting and all of these new regulations constantly chipping away at our freedom and our liberty. Right now, the big one is freedom of speech and censorship. It's out of control, isn't it, Mark?
Absolutely. And I think this this goal from LifeSite News that's stated by the United Nations, wanting a one world government in less than 12 years. I think that's very, very doable. I think that's a very attainable goal. I think it's turnkey right now. I think the only thing that's really holding it back is probably these very few pesky Christians, which Jesus could probably take us out of the way for them really quick. And they could bring that out about much faster. But, 5G is probably the one thing that's going to really exponentially propel this agenda forward, because you'll be able to have that type of absolute total global surveillance state that I describe in my Days of Elijah book with the 5G. 4G, which is what most people's phones work on right now, is 6 gigahertz, and 5G is up to 300 gigahertz. So we're talking about 50 times more powerful. Wow. than 4G. And so most people's internet, cable modem internet is probably what you're talking about. Wireless cable modem internet that's available wirelessly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you'd be able to have that absolute surveillance state and cashless society and everything that's involved with that totalitarian kingdom of the Antichrist.
Yes. Yeah. And that's the very good point, Mark. Very good point. That is what we are rushing headlong towards. Is the establishment of the kingdom of the Antichrist. Now, the spirit of Antichrist is already alive and well, and we're seeing that everywhere. Reading and talking about all this stuff and looking at all these headlines, Mark, it just reminds me of Rome burned, Nero fiddled while Rome burned. It seems like Christians are just horsing around, playing around, not paying attention to what's going on. They're more hedonists than they are Christian theistic activists today, in my view. And one of the things that I came across was this, the angel board game, And I don't know if any of you have seen this yet or not. And I'm not sure that there's a picture on here. I hope that there is, Jared, in this article. There's a picture of this angel board game. There it is. There it is. Anybody in the queue, have you seen this already? If you scroll down, Jared, I think there's a picture of what they copied it from. Look at that. That looks real familiar, doesn't it? Are you familiar with the Ouija board? You should be, because that's spiritism. That's demonism right there. And they copied this. Only see, now they're marketing this to Christians, and they call it the angel board. So now you can ask angels question and get responses from angels. Because after all, there's a picture of an angel on it, right? So that makes it safe for Christians.
Sure. Mark? And Don P just posted a comment talking about Christian tarot cards, and I think they're called angel cards. And
yes,
I've heard of those as well. And yeah, this goes back to David Wilkerson's prophecy, doesn't it? Witchcraft in the church. I'm sure this is being sold in bookstores inside of churches.
Yes, yes. And it pains me to say that, but I would agree with you. I'm sure it is. Sam, you're absolutely right. That is Gnosticism. Along with angel cards, there's something called destiny cards as well. Destiny cards. Which really, to me, are very similar to tarot cards, destiny cards, and they're marketing these again to Christians. It's modern day packaging of demonism, and Christians are falling for it. It's just an amazing time that we live in, folks. Were you familiar with the destiny card? Yeah, there you go, Christian tarot cards. Destiny cards. Yeah. It's just amazing.
And this is all, it's Satan's always got a counterfeit for the real thing. And unfortunately Christians are really falling for it. And what it is, the counterfeit of, is it's just, it's a shortcut. It's an easy way to find out what you're supposed to be doing and where you're supposed to be going. Without all the discipline of having to do prayer and fasting and seeking God through praying and being steeped in His Word, because if you do all of that, He'll direct your path. You know,
that's right. Yes, amen.
I've really ticked off the pagan society in the area that I live in, but this is something that's actually pretty near and dear to me because my. I actually come from a line of witches, as weird as that sounds. My grandma and her grandma before her were pretty powerful witches. And fortunately, my grandma got saved from this and completely Amen. Changed her life around. But this is some dangerous stuff.
It is dangerous stuff. It is dangerous. And Sam, by the way, let me, Denny, I see you're still on here. You, Sam, you and Denny need to talk because you live in the same state.
Oh, okay.
I'll leave it at that. So you two chat and see what you can do as far as ministry together. Mark, Jared, let's go back to the Prepper Recon website. I want Mark to talk a little bit about what's going on with him. So Prepper Recon, folks, PrepperRecon.com, latest book, Cyber Armageddon. But I can recommend to you any of Mark's books. I like the Ava's Crucible series, Seven Cow series is good. What's the other one I've read? Seven Cows series, that was really good. The Economic Collapse Chronicles down there in the lower left, that is a fantastic three-volume set. Folks, you're not going to go wrong with any of Mark's books. Go out to his website, PrepperRecon.com. If you're looking for some good fiction that really, I mean, I can tell you, Mark stays up to date on what's happening in our culture. He presents events and news, trends that are happening in America, and he presents them from a biblical perspective, how we as believers should be responding to what's happening today. He puts all that in a book, and it's, well, they're just fantastic. They're fantastic.
Hey, does he have them on video, too? Or books on video?
Books on video, Mark?
No, they're on audio.
Audio.
So you can listen to them and maybe look at some pictures of nuclear bombs going off or something. Maybe that would be a video.
I'm just a slow reader and I got a stack of books here about my eye, you know.
Oh yeah. So audio's great. You can listen to it while you're in the car, while you're, you know, doing yard work or whatever, going to the gym on the treadmill, you know, maybe some folks have got some new New Year's resolutions, trying to drop that extra 10 pounds or whatever. And this is a great stuff that you can listen to while you're in the gym and not have the spirit grieved. Cyber Armageddon. I wrote this, Dr. Mike, because this is one of the things that keeps the folks in the intelligence industry up at night, is worrying about our vulnerabilities from a cyber attack, because you know we haven't really seen anything catastrophic since 2017 when we saw the WannaCry virus, which you know was a tool developed by the NSA that got leaked out into malicious actors' hands, and it disrupted FedEx shipping for a long time. The health services in Britain were taken down by the WannaCry virus. Several car manufacturers had to cease production for a few days. A few Russian banks were affected, which you know there was a lot of speculation that Russia was the one that launched the WannaCry virus. And it could have been something that they just wanted to kind of see what they could do and what they could get away with without getting caught. Because if you were going to do something like this, you would probably, and you were a nation state, you would probably have a few small attacks in your own country to divert the suspicions away from yourself. So, you know, even to this day, Stuxnet, which took down Iran's nuclear centrifuges, of course, that's been accredited to America and Israel, but there's no smoking gun with a cyber attack. So this is very, very different. It's a very, very different battlefield. I believe it's the battlefield of the future because of the ability of the attacker to strike their target and really not be blamed for it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is what's coming. There's no question about that. Mark, I am so thankful for you and for your friendship and for your insights. I appreciate you joining me today. People, you can contact Mark. I know there's a contact form on the Prepper Recon. There you go. Contact Mark. Send him a note. Tell him you appreciate his work. Mark, quickly, before we say goodbye for this episode, any plans to start the Prepper Recon podcast again?
Pastor Mike, as I said, I got a 17-month-old right now, and we just bought a homestead up in the southern Appalachian Mountains, and so there's lots and lots of stuff to do there. And so I've had to cut a few things out to make sure I've got all my priorities straight. And as much as I'd like to do that, there's just not time to do everything. So you've got to often cut out some of the good things so you can do all the best things.
Amen. Amen, Brother Mark. Thank you so much for joining me again. We're not going to let the time go by before you come back on again.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Pastor Mike. And one more thing that I would like to add for folks. If you go to Prepper Recon, at the very top of the page, there's a free 7-step survival plan that if you'll click that banner and sign that, give me your email and I'll send you that free PDF for folks to get prepared, because there's a few things that you need to do to be ready for if the worst happens. And it doesn't mean you're not trusting Jesus. It just means that you're like Noah, you're doing your part, and then you know, you do your best and then trust God with the rest. But I think God does expect us to be diligent. Most folks have fire insurance and car insurance and health insurance. And, you know, a lot of that stuff's prudent. And it doesn't mean that you don't trust Jesus just because you have some insurance. And there's a few things that folks need to do to be ready to take care of their own families and to be able to help others in case something from one of these books happens to come true. And, yes. And the folks that are in the know, as I mentioned, folks in the intelligence community and folks in government, they really worry about a lot of the stuff, and they're real threats. And while they're fiction in my books, they're all possible.
Yes, that's right. Yes, that's right. Thank you, Mark. God bless you, my friend. Folks, renewing our mind is not an option. See you next Monday. God bless you.